Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
This surely is a miracle in motion, and it's great to see many different nations even represented here. And I love the fact, as a church, we're all about equipping people for life through faith in Jesus. And having grown up in church for a long time, you know, I like to make church simple. How many know things can get complicated? And it's so important that we keep it simple. So church to me is just simply a whole lot of friends just going, come on, let's go higher in God. And when you're younger, how many did some stupid stuff? Everybody's done some stupid stuff before. I grew up in a household where I got two brothers and a sister. And so we had four children in our family. We're all born in 4 years. So my parents were really busy. And they're really busy. But because I got two brothers born a year apart, there was a lot of competition in our household. And so we used to compete over stupid stuff, whether it was with our bikes, we'd build ramps. And we'd jump off those ramps and it would go higher and higher. And normally the activity would finish with one of us going to hospital. That's how it finished. In fact, I remember one time I was at a river and there was a bridge over the river. And my oldest brother said to me, come on, let's jump off it. I thought, you're crazy, that's really high. But anyway, he jumped up on the ledge and he jumped off it. And you knew it was high because all the way down he was going like this. He hit the bottom, he resurfaced, and he said, come on down. How many know I had no choice but to jump? Otherwise, I'd never hear the end of it. And so I jumped up on the ledge, and I thought, oh, this is really high. Anyway, I jumped off, and I was going like this all the way down. And you knew it was high because on the way down, you had time to think, man, this is high. I hit the bottom, I resurfaced. And the first thing my older brother said to me was, man, that hurt, didn't it? To which I agreed. And then we both yelled out to our younger brother, it's fine, come on down. but just as you challenge one another to do some crazy stuff in the natural, you know, church is simply a group of people saying, come on, let's challenge one another to live this life for God. Come on, let's believe that God could use us to impact our world. I don't believe you're here by chance. I believe God's brought you here, and I believe he wants to speak into your life and speak into your destiny tonight. And the Spirit of God is in this place, and whatever you're needing, you can come to a God who hears our prayer and who wants to answer them in power. So you made a great decision, as I said, coming to church. It's great to have my wife here, and we've been traveling for the last 2 months. And this is our last stop before we go home. So they've saved the best for last. You know, when Jesus turned the water into wine, he left the best wine for the end. And so, you know, we just kind of honor and privilege to be here. The pastors, the leader, this is the team, you know, who have stepped out in faith to create this environment. We want to just honor Pastor Miro and Marta and the team here. Come on, can we put our hands together for them? Creating an environment where people can encounter Jesus. And we're just so excited about what God's doing, but also what he's going to do in this next season. Well, it was some years ago, I was in an incredible worship service like this. The anointing was there. And as I was worshiping God, I was just about to speak. I got a picture of a dog that we used to own. It was this big, fat, fluffy dog. This dog had a big appetite, which was always good when you didn't like what was served up for dinner. Because you could guarantee that this dog would be under the table and that food, those Brussels sprouts, would just disappear. Just disappear in a moment. But the problem with this dog is this dog would overeat. And it would overeat to a point where it would actually throw up. How many know when dogs throw up, they don't just throw up? They actually go back to the vomit. I don't know if you've seen this before, but they lick the vomit up. How many have seen that before? I'm sorry if you haven't had dinner yet. But in this anointed atmosphere, this worship moment, I got a picture of the dog that we had grown up throwing up and then going back to the vomit and licking it up. And I felt God lead me to a passage found in 2 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about that there's a group of people who are known a way of righteousness, but they got entangled with sin again. And it says in this passage in the New Living, it says they don't just go back to where they were, they actually end up in a worse off place than they were before. One thing I've found when it comes to following Jesus, there's only one way, and that's forward. So many people can know God, but then get entangled with old ways of living. The best way to stuff up your Christian life is to be half-hearted in your faith. And in this verse, it says, the people who have known a way of righteousness and get entangled with sin before, it would have been better off than they'd never known in the first place. It says they're like a dog returning to its vomit and a washed pig returning to the mud. When it comes to your walk with God, I want to say if you know Jesus in this place, there's only one way, and that's forward. And there's no turning back. See, I had to come to that realization as an 18-year-old. I said, if this is real, I've got to do something with it. I can't just sit on it. I can't just have a belief in God. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I worked out that I listened to over 2,000 messages up to that point in time. That's a lot of messages where I go, oh, great joke, funny story. And I respond on the basis of how somebody spoke. But the Holy Spirit really challenged me from John chapter 8, verse 32, where it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Come on, the truth shall set you free. How many want to live a free life? Yeah, a free life. Now, it's not the truth that you've heard that has the power to set you free. It's not even the truth that you've read that has the power to set you free. That word know means to learn through your five senses. It means to experience the truth. Yes. Christian, I want to ask you, have you had an experience with God? I said as an 18-year-old, God, I don't want to just believe in you. I want to experience you. I don't want to just believe that you heal. I want to experience your healing power in my life. I can testify that I've been diagnosed with two incurable diseases. Today, I'm not on any medication, and I have no symptoms of those diseases in my body. I know that God is my healer. Yeah, I don't want to just believe God wants to save my friends and family. I want to see it. I want to experience it. Do you know my family? 26 members of my family gave their hearts to Jesus in 18 months. How many know if he can do it for my family, he can do it for your family? And Equippers Church is not just a church that has a belief in God. This is not about empty religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And, you know, we want to see a whole generation of people equipped and empowered to live out their faith. And when it comes to knowing God, there's only one way. That's forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no going back. There's no going back. Come on, just turn to your neighbor. One thing I want to say, if there's any place you can be yourself, it should be the house of God. Do I get an amen in that? So many people, you know, are really noisy outside of church, but when they come into church, they get all quiet and serious. I want to say, if there's one place you can be yourself, it should be the house of God. And so if you believe, if you hear anything, you can say amen, you can say yes to it. And as we unpack the word of God, I really believe God's going to speak and minister into people's environments. Do I get an amen in the balcony? In the balcony, are you up there? You alive? Do I get an amen? No, I don't get an amen up there. On the floor, do I get an amen? Amen. In the balcony, do I get an amen? Amen. Yes, you are alive up there. I thought you just lost singing with the angels or something like that. But we are glad that you are alive. Well, you know, growing up, one job that I had is I had this paper round where I used to deliver newspapers in the early hours of the morning. And I used to deliver it to houses. But one of the things that I hated was dogs would come at me from nowhere. I'd often find myself trapped between my bicycle and the dog. And my friend said to me that there's two ways of dealing with dogs. You know, when they come at you in the dark of the morning, he said, the first way is you can just lie down, remain completely still, and the dog will come up to you or sniff you, and it'll eventually go away. How many know I wasn't up for that way? That's a dumb way. He said, the other way of dealing with a dog is to look it in the eyes and show it no fear. The worst thing you can do is show it fear and run. Because if you run, that dog's going to chase you down. And so he said, the best way is to stare it in the eyes, look at, and even shout if you have to, and don't be intimidated by that dog. And there's one address that for years I was intimidated by the sound of this dog. I'd never seen the dog, but every time I came close, I heard its barking. I go, man, I don't want to go near that. And so what I'd do, as soon as I come close to that house, I'd cross over to the other side of the street. I'd walk on the other side of the street, and then I'd cross back over once I'd passed that house. It took me longer to do my paper round. Why? Because I was intimidated by the sound of this dog. And then one day I thought, oh, I've had enough of this. I need to stop this. This is taking me longer. And anyway, I thought, man, I'm going to steer this dog down. I'm not going to let this dog intimidate me any longer. I've got a right just to walk on one side of the street. And so I did that. I went down the street, and I didn't cross over, and I came close to the house. And as I came close to the house, sure enough, this dog started barking. I'd never seen it up to this point in time. It started barking, and as I came closer, it came out of the dark and into the light. And what I thought was a big dog ended up being this really small little dog. And I thought, all this time, I've been crossing the street for that. I've been intimidated by that little thing. Do you know, so many of us live under the spirit of intimidation, and we don't even understand that we're actually living in this place called fear. But I like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity or intimidation. We don't need to be intimidated. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Somebody say power. Power, love, and a sound mind. So what have you been given if you know Jesus? You've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. The question I want to ask you today is, what would you do if you had no fear? How would you live your life? Because the reality is, some of us right now, we're intimidated by the sound of dogs. And we're crossing the street all the time. We're altering our behavior. We're adjusting our behavior. And it's all because of the spirit. And it's a spirit of fear that comes into our life. That's not God's plan for your life. To live under the Spirit. God wants to set you free. And I believe tonight, God's going to set people free from the spirit of intimidation. But for that to happen, we need to deal with the dogs. Because this spirit manifests itself in different ways. Some of you right now are going, well, I don't think I'm fearful. I'm not a fearful person. I don't come under that spirit. Could you be coming under that spirit and not even knowing it? Today, I just want to give you three dogs. Yeah, three dogs that we need to deal with. Okay, we're going to deal with the dogs. Because get this, the dogs of doom always stand at the door of destiny. The dogs of doom always stand at the door of destiny. Every time you decide to make a step to follow Jesus, to launch out in faith, there's going to be dogs that come and bark in your head. And that you're going to try and intimidate you and stop you from living out God's purpose for your life. It happens all the time. And these dogs of doom stand at the door of destiny. But we need to deal with these dogs if we're to really move forward in God's purpose for our life. Since your neighbor said, we're going to deal with the dogs. We're going to deal with the dogs. That's right, we're dealing with the dogs tonight. Okay, the first dog that we need to deal with, the first way that the spirit of intimidation manifests itself, number one, is through past failures. How many ever failed at something before? Anybody failed at something? Yeah, everybody's made mistakes. In fact, if you haven't got your hand lifted up, you're lying. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Failure is a horrible thing. You know, I hate failing. Yeah, you know, failing is like, oh man, that hurts. I remember studying for 5 years, and in the second year of my degree, I failed a whole 6 months. I failed 6 months. And I tried really hard. In fact, up to that point, I thought, oh, C's get degrees. And I thought, no, I'm going to try for an A. So I'm going to go after an A. And I tried hard, worked really hard. Come the end of the semester, I got a D. I failed. You know, it's like if I didn't try hard, it wouldn't hurt as much. But I tried hard. And I'd failed. And I was like, oh, man, that hurts. Now, I knew God had called me to do my course of study. How many know if God calls you to something, he doesn't change his mind halfway through? But right at that time, you know, in my mind, it was like, maybe you're not called to do this. What happens if you go back and you try again and you fail again? Maybe you're not smart enough. And these dogs would bark in my ear. But I knew God had positioned me where I was. And I had to face failure. I had to look failure in the eye and say, you're not going to overcome me. You're not going to intimidate me. In fact, I went back and repeated a whole 6 months, just going back into a classroom and explaining to other students what you were doing last semester. Where were you last semester? I was here. Well, it wasn't a nice thing. But I challenged to say I learned more in that 6 months where I faced failure than I did in the rest of my degree. See, some of you right now, it's like, you know what it is to fail, but now you've scaled back your dream and even your life to avoid that feeling. Because the feeling of failure and disappointment is horrible. And every time you fail, it's like the enemy comes along and goes, don't do that again. You know, what if you launch out? What if you try again and it doesn't work? You know, enemy comes along and goes, oh, I know what you did back then. Who are you to believe that God could use you? Who are you to believe that God's got a plan for your life? And it's like these dogs bark in our ears. But aren't you glad that today, if anyone is in Christ, get this, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. And where the enemy would come and bark in your ears, we don't need to be intimidated by those things. Because yes, you may have failed, but you're not that person any longer. Because failure is an event, it's not a person. And we need to overcome this intimidating spirit. Do you know, I wouldn't be running conferences around the world today if I listened to this spirit. Because I'd run many events over the years where I expected hundreds to turn up, only for 10 people to show up. And I was disappointed, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But we wouldn't be seeing stadiums filled in our nation with 10,000 people praying if I didn't deal with the spirit. And some of you have got a bigger call on your life than you realize, but right now you're living under the spirit of past failure. And God wants to set you free tonight. Do I get an amen to that? Where that dog barks, you're going to go, I'm going to stare that dog down. It's no longer going to intimidate me. So the first dog that we need to deal with is the dog of past failure. The second dog that we need to deal with is the dog of present insecurity. Oh, it's already up on the board. Present insecurity. How many get insecure from time to time? Okay, I'll just wait a minute for the insecure people to lift their hands. Oh, I don't know if I want to lift my hands. Who's watching? Who's looking? And it's like we all get insecure. I grew up as a shy, insecure pastor's kid. I was so shy when I was young. I used to hide away from people. I didn't like being around people. But then I had to come to realize that shyness was not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not love, joy, peace, patience, shyness. It's not there. And I had to overcome my shyness. The Bible says the righteous shall be as bold as a lion. And some of us accept things that are part of our personality. And we think, oh, well, that's how we're wired. Yes, you know, there's different things that we need to overcome. But in God, you know, we can overcome those insecurities. For some, those insecurities have become part of our life and part of our identity. I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, Sam, you know your insecurities? And I go, yep, I know them really well. And he said to me, you know your insecurities are rooted in pride? I was going, eh? How can that be? And he said to me, well, When you're insecure, who are you thinking about? And I go, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about myself. And as long as my eyes are on me and myself and I, it can never be focused on God and God's plan and purpose. And now, you know, from that moment where I got that revelation, every time I feel insecure, I actually speak to myself and I say, Sam, stop being proud. Sam, you need to humble yourself. You're thinking too much about yourself. And a lot of our insecurity holds us back from the very thing that God's called us to do. Do you know what humility is? Humility is simply agreeing with God. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I don't want God to resist me. Because I'm living under the Spirit where I'm letting my insecurity rule my life. I need to humble myself. And I need to agree with God. You know, you've got to understand, what God sees about your life, it's so much bigger than what you currently see. God's got a bigger plan for your life than you realize. And humility is simply agreeing with God's big plan. See, you can't serve a big God and have a small dream. So many people limit God to what they can do. I believe God right now is looking for a generation of people who just simply agree with God. I don't understand, but I'm going to agree with God. You know, I come from a small nation, a very small nation. 5 million people live in that nation. We have more sheep than we have people. Yeah, but I was saying on Wednesday, you know, who would have thought God could use somebody from New Zealand? From New Zealand. I was once preaching in another nation, and they asked, where's New Zealand? And they said, is it part of Australia? And I said to them, don't swear. We're our own nation. And there was a map of the world on the back wall. And I went to show them where New Zealand was. And do you know, New Zealand wasn't even on the map. They had discounted us and overlooked us. But God's got a special plan for New Zealand. And God's got a special plan for your life. But you've got to agree with God. See, as C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. The problem is we're too high on the agenda of our life. Bible says it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's Christ who lives in me. And I believe God is looking for a people who will humble themselves and just say, I'm going to agree with God. God thinks you're awesome. Who are you to disagree with God? Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. How awesome are your works? Next time you look in the mirror, instead of criticizing yourself, maybe you just need to agree with God and look at it and say, that is awesome. That is amazing. That is humility. When God made you, he didn't make mistakes. He didn't go, oops, got that wrong. You know, I'll get that right with the next one. No, everything in your life, you look the way you should look. You sound the way you should sound. God's designed you. And he's anointed you and positioned you. See, what we've got to understand is purpose, get this, purpose precedes design. When an architect designs something, he starts with purpose. He doesn't design something and go, oh, that could be good to live in. He starts with purpose, and then the design is around the purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You're his workmanship. You've been recreated in Christ to do good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. So God's already prepared the works for you to do. And do you know, he's designed you to be able to do those works. Purpose precedes design. But we've got to deal with the dog of insecurity. This dog that barks in our ears, tells us that we're not good enough. Tells us, who are we to believe that? Come on, some of you even right now know these voices. And I want to say they're crippling you in your walk with Jesus. But tonight you can be free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus is the only one who can set us free. Come on, if you believe that, give God a big clap of praise. So we're going to deal with the dog of past failure. We're going to deal with the dog of present insecurity. And lastly, we're going to deal with the dog of perceived obstacles. Now get this. We serve a big God. Okay, not just big. He is huge. He is massive. He is ginormous. Big, big, big God. Small problem. Big God, you getting the picture? Huge God, small, tiny problem. Do you know right now God's not freaked out over the problems in your life? Yeah, he's not freaked out going, I've never seen this one before. I don't know if I can solve this. Michael, Gabriel, we better get together and have a committee meeting and work out a strategy because this is a big problem. But how often are we telling God how big our problems are? We're going, oh, God, I need you to move here. And we're telling God how big our problems are. Instead of telling God how big our problems are, we need to speak to our problems and tell them how big our God is. Because we serve a big God where nothing is too difficult for him. He's not right now freaking out over billions of dollars. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Come on, he can come and meet your need wherever you are right now. He's not freaking out over that diagnosis. Come on, he's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our provider. And he wants to answer our prayers. But so often we can't see God because we're looking at the obstacle that's in front of us. In fact, the Israelite army, they were intimidated by a guy by the name of Goliath. Goliath personified intimidation, the spirit. And every day, the Israelites would get dressed for battle. They'd get dressed for battle, and this Goliath figure, he would taunt the army. He would taunt them, come at me, send your best. And day after day, the Israelite army would go back in fear. Do you know there's a lot of Christians who live that way today? It's like they come to a Sunday meeting, they're dressed for battle, they look like Christians. But then come Monday, it's like the enemy taunts them, and it's almost like they go back in fear. But we need to overcome the spirit. We need, you know, one thing we need to realize is we're part of a superior kingdom. The kingdom of God is always advancing. It advanced during the pandemic. And so God is always on the move. He wasn't surprised by the pandemic. He's going, oh, man, I never foresaw that. You know, God didn't bring it about, but he wants to use it. In every situation you face in your life, God wants to take what's meant for evil and he wants to use it for good. But we've got to see God in the middle of our situations. And we need to see him working. And I love this young shepherd boy who comes on the scene. We all know his name's David. And he looks at the Philistine and he says, who is this Philistine? Who is he to defy the armies of the living God? And he said, what do I get if I kill him? So he just had this confidence that he wasn't going to be defeated by Goliath. He just wanted to know what he got if he killed him. And he stood up and he said to Goliath, he said, today I'm going to cut off your head. Not only that, but I'm going to feed your dead body to the birds of the air. You know, right now, I just feel like some of us have been living under the spirit for too long. And we need the spirit of David. We're saying, today, you're not going to defy me any longer. Today, I'm going to cut off your head. Today, I'm going to feed your dead carcass to the birds of the air. You know, today, I'm going to walk in freedom. Again, what would you do if you had no fear? What would you do? How would you live? Because if the truth be known, in a lot of places, we're living under the spirit of intimidation. Some of us have dreams in our heart. And the moment we decide to do something with those dreams, it's like these voices. Who are you to believe that? What makes you think you can do that? Oh, God can use them, but you? really you? You're not gifted enough. You're not good enough. And these voices come in and stop us living out God's purpose. But come on, Equip Us Budapest. Come on, this is a church. Wherever we get together, there's got to be a freedom in the room. And I'm praying that we walk in a freedom to live out God's destiny for our lives. But for that to happen, we've got to deal with the dogs. Turn to your neighbor, say, today, we're going to deal with the dogs. If we could have the musicians up, just even right now. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place. And we haven't just come together for a good time, even though this is a good time. We've come together to encounter God. And I don't know about you, I don't want to just believe in God, have a belief. I don't want to have a belief without an experience. And those that know the truth, shall be set free. And true freedom is found in Him today. You can't free yourself. You need the Holy Spirit working in you. And it's His power that enables us to walk out our God-given destiny. I can sense the Holy Spirit in this room. And some of you know these voices too well. In fact, for some, it's these voices that become a friend. It's kept you in a place of comfort. But ultimately, there's something missing in your life. You're missing the sense of adventure in God. In fact, some people have been walking with God for a long time, but you're bored. And God's called you to live out this adventure. But it's like these voices, something hasn't happened in the past, and these voices are coming, and now you've just limited God to a Sunday meeting where you sing a few songs and you listen to a message, but you don't actually live out the very thing that God's called you to. I believe there's going to come a shift and a change in your life. Come on, Equip His Church. We're here to equip you so that you can impact your world. We're here to equip you so that you can impact your workplace, your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your community. God's anointed you. He's chosen you. I often say, people say, here I am, God, send him. Send her. But I want to say God's chosen you and His hands are on your life. I want everybody to stand to their feet right now. And if you recognize that you've come under the Spirit, you recognize that you've been under the spirit of intimidation, and you want to say, today's the day where I no longer let this spirit, this dog, intimidate me any longer. Today I'm going to trust God with my freedom. I want you to lift your hands right across this place. Just right across this place. If I had a bigger room, I'd get people to come to the front. But what I want you to do right where you are, because I believe when you make a physical action, it opens up a spiritual reality in your life. And really what you're saying by lifting your hands is, God, I'm going to move towards you. And I found when you take one step towards God, He takes 1,000 towards you. And right now, just where you are, if you got a little bit of a space, just in faith, just say, God, today I take a step. And I want you just to take a step forward, just a little step forward, because I believe something is going to be released in the Spirit. And just with hands lifted, if you're responding, and most of the room are responding at some level, I want you to say, God, I repent. Repent means to change your mind. God, I repent of where I believe the lies of the enemy, where I've been ensnared with the lies of the enemy. Today, I align my life with the truth of who you say I am and the truth of what you say I can do. Right now, I renounce this power that I've opened the door to. And I say, devil, you have no power over my life. I thank you, Jesus. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but you give me a spirit of power. Just right now, there's the power of God. Right now, ministering to lives. Right now, in the balcony, on the floor, wherever you are. I don't need to lay hands on you, but there's the power of God ministering into your life, ministering into that situation. Some of us just need to say, I receive your power. I receive your power right now to set me free from my past, to set me free from past mistakes. They no longer hold me any longer. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you, God, for freedom right now. You've given us power, power. But you've also given us love. And just with your hands lifted right now, come on, from the front to the back, I just believe a wave of his love is going to come over people. The perfect love of Jesus casts out all fear, all fear, all fear. His love is not like any other love. You may have never experienced his love before, but friend, his love is unconditional. We can't comprehend his love. Some of you don't love yourself. Some of you have been hard on yourself, and you need to be kind to yourself because God loves you and he's for you. Some of you even need to celebrate yourself. Right now, you're not a mistake. We thank you, God, for your anointing right now and your love flowing through this place. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and lastly, a sound mind. And I just believe God's going to minister right now to every depressive thought. Come on, some of you have been in depression. You've got negative cycles in your mind, but God's given you a sound mind. You're going to meditate on the truth of who he is. Right now, in Jesus' name, we lift off every cloud of confusion, every cloud of depression. Come on, if you've got a heavenly language, maybe you want to use that right now. Come on, that cloud's been lifted off in Jesus' name, and freedom's coming. Freedom, you may want to lay hands on your own head because I can't get there and just say, I thank you, God, my mind has been renewed, and I align my thoughts with what you say. And I thank you, Jesus, I can do what you say I can do. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, freedom is coming. We break every suicidal thought right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, where the enemy has tried to come and hold people captive, we declare freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on, Jesus has given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. Come on, if you receive that today, I want you just to give God a big clap of praise right now. Come on, let's give him a big clap of praise. Come on, can we give him a huge clap of praise right now? We receive it by faith. We honor you, Jesus. We magnify you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.